BBC World Service, now witness. 2013 marked the 50th anniversary of the death of the French singer Edith Piaf. Using BBC archive recordings and some of Piaf's friends and lovers, Simon Watts tells the story of the woman who famously sang Non, je ne regrette rien.
It's late 1963 and hundreds of thousands of Parisians line the streets to pay tribute to Edith Piaf.
Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. Ni le bien.
People waited for 5 hours to see her. At the beginning, we put her in a coffin with a glass. But we have to close it because the crowd was so mad, I must say mad, that I'm sure the coffin would have been broken. And people want to have something from her. You know, sometimes they try to steal.
Je me fous du passé.
Edith Piaf had been born into abject poverty. The daughter of a cafe singer and a street acrobat, she was raised in a brothel before running away as a teenager to Pigalle, a rough district of Paris. In 1935, she was discovered, singing in the street, by a cabaret owner called Louis Le Play. Le Play invited radio host Jacques Canetti to see her stage debut.
I was absolutely astonished. I was more than astonished because this girl had a sort of a voice which I don't like. It's a sort of a somehow a vulgar voice, but so much feeling.
Il avait de grands yeux très clairs, parfois passent des éclairs, comme au ciel passent les orages. Il avait plein de tatouages que j'ai jamais très bien compris. Son coup portait, pas vu, pas pris.
I was absolutely, after a minute, in love with that girl. She was an ugly girl, you know, ugly looking girl, you can't imagine. Dirty and ugly. I mean, everything against her. But such a fine way to sing.
Il m'a aimé toute la nuit, mon légionnaire.
Canetti and Le Play tidied Piaf up and designed her act. They decided she'd always wear a simple black dress whenever she performed. The contrast between Piaf's powerful voice and her tiny frame thrilled listeners. And the Little Sparrow, as she was known, also entranced many composers.
Un homme est un artiste, c'est un drôle de petit gars, un accordéoniste qui sait jouer la java.
They wrote songs specially for Piaf, based on her own life and its tragic affairs with soldiers, actors and musicians.
So she told me everything about her life, about her loves, about her lovers, about everything. And we laughed together very much.
Michel Aimer, the writer of some of Piaf's best-known songs, like The Accordionist.
It's the story of a prostitute, and she's in love with an accordionist. And she goes to the Bal Musette, and she doesn't dance, she looks at him. And he goes to the war, and he's killed. And she comes back to this same Bal Musette, and she hears the same music, and it makes her cry. And she started to dance alone.
The motive for Piaf's personality was only to be loved. It was not for money, not to be the first singer in the world. Only to be loved. She needed to be loved.
The singer Charles Aznavour was another of Piaf's great friends. He would watch as she started every doomed affair with the same enthusiasm.
It was always the same thing. The couturier, new hat, new makeup, clean, absolutely marvelous. And then the man was there like an animal, you know. She used to surround the man with all the charm she could use, even singing, even talking about her success. And then when the man was trapped She used to buy first the cufflinks, after that the cigarette box, after that the shirt. And she was in love with all that. All the men used to wear the same kind of suit. Blue, with white shirt, and a very elegant necktie. They always have the same thing, of course.
The greatest of Piaf's loves was the boxer Marcel Sada. After he was killed in a plane crash in 1949, the singer began to go downhill. The actor Jacques Pille was married briefly to Piaf in the 1950s. He quickly discovered his new wife was an addict.
She used to love drinks and drugs. I asked her, I said, is it true that you like to smoke marijuana or to take some heroin? She said, yes, but it's not my fault. It's because I'm very ill. I am suffering with rheumatism. I'm obliged to see always doctors, and they make me cortisone, and to help me, the doctor give me drugs. I took there for desintoxication, but 2 or 3 months after, again she started.
Entraînée par la foule qui s'élance et qui danse, une folle farandole, nos deux mains restent soudées.
By this stage of her career, the combination of her great art and her scandalous private life had made Piaf the biggest celebrity in France. As Charles Aznavour recalls, she was hardly ever off the front pages.
She used to have her own friend in each newspapers. Somebody who can eat and drink and spend the night talking with Piaf and go out and having fun. So every time it was an honest article in the paper saying, I was with Piaf yesterday night, she was a little sad, we have drunk 2 or 3 bottles of wine, and suddenly she have opened her heart.
But by 1963, Piaf was a pathetic figure. After 3 serious car crashes and countless operations, she could barely stand on stage. On her deathbed, she caused her final scandal by marrying a handsome young Greek singer. But Jacques Canetti says he did bring Piaf some comfort.
She was so ill that her husband brought her on stage. I mean, he was carrying her. And when she was on stage, then it was marvelous, because then she stood up and she sang in a marvelous way. I went down to the dressing room to say hello to her. She told me, look, I'm a ruin, but look, isn't he marvelous?
That performance was to be Piaf's last. The little sparrow died at a villa in the south of France, weighing as little as a child. She was immediately brought back to Paris, the scene of her greatest triumphs, for one of the biggest funerals in the city's history.
Non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie...
The voice of Edith Piaf, ending that edition of Witness from Simon Watts. You can join the programme on Facebook. Just search for BBC Witness.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, an early version of Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run sold for big money this month. So what got left on the cutting room floor in the making of that great song? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Weekdays starting at noon on AM 580.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.